Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone on Blog Talk Radio, this is Michael Coffey from Clanny Survival School, here with you today to discuss the most important thing I think it should be on our minds today, and that is, are we in fact at the stage of World War III? All we have to do is look at the attacks in Paris. Yes, you're probably wondering, why bring up the attacks in Paris? Well, I feel that it has something important to play in this scheme of things, because unfortunately what we have at the moment is not that much information is coming out. And basically, we have these Muslims going out and killing people. Now, what will this mean for us? It means that governments around the world are going to use these attacks to remove more of our rights and more of our freedoms. Yes, there's going to be more laws made, more surveillance added on. But what is the key to all of this? What is the end goal that we must see that is going to be forming from this? And what we can see is that World War III is going to break out. And there's going to be a very, very serious problem of acquiring food, shelter, and of course, we know from several videos on YouTube, several documentaries by Alex Jones, information put out by Sun Prepper One, the Kev Baker Show on True Frequency Radio. There's also the Patriot North. There's also Storm Clouds Gathering. Basically, just log on to my YouTube channel, Wilderness Survival 3, on YouTube, and you will find all the things on there. The most important thing that I would stress for you to do is right now is to get prepared, because we actually don't know what's going to be going on. So I want to play a little bit of footage, voice recording of an interview that they're doing on. This is from CNN. And it just shows a little bit about the tax in Paris. So it's going to just give you a brief update on what's going on. So here you go.
French security services have identified a new suspect in the Paris terror attack.
Yeah, he is reportedly an accomplice of this man, Amedi Coulibaly, who shot dead four French Jews at a kosher market last week. The newspaper says it is believed the man has already fled France.
Charlie Hebdo, meanwhile, promising to reprint and redistribute after its new edition sold out almost as fast as it hit the stands. The French satirical magazine now plans to release 5 million copies in, or well, perhaps even more. They're saying they're going to do 1 million a day until nobody wants another one.
Well, as you would imagine, many Muslims are upset that once again the cover depicts the Prophet Muhammad. And we want to share a very moving story with you now from the massacre at Charlie Hebdo. Two maintenance workers were at the magazine's office when it was attacked. One survived. The other died in his arms.
Now, that survivor and the victim's brother spoke to CNN's Jim Bitterman. Much has been heard about the cartoonists and police who were among the victims, but little about the first person the terrorist killed, a maintenance technician named Frederick Boiseau. Me and his partner Jeremy Kent were looking over the Charlie Hebdo building for the first time at the start of a maintenance contract.
the first to come face-to-face with the killers. A week later, Loiseau's brother Christophe and Gans have begun telling their story.
Je sais pas comment c'est suivi, mais par téléphone, on a eu tout le temps de lever la tête. C'est quelqu'un qui a crié Charlie. Il a tiré. Et j'ai juste eu le temps de crier. On est de la maintenance. Il avait déjà tiré. Et ensuite, il m'a visé. Il a dit, c'est où Charlie Hebdo? Et j'ai dit, je sais pas, on est de la maintenance. C'est le premier jour. En essayant de me protéger comme si j'allais prendre un coup de bâton, comme un réflexe. Et ensuite, Fredo, il a crié, Jérémy, je suis touché. Appelle Catherine. C'est sa femme. Et ensuite, je me suis jeté sur lui pour essayer, tant bien que mal, de l'aider, d'appuyer sur sa plaie, de lui lever la tête, de lui mettre sur le côté. Et quand je me suis retourné, je les ai vus repasser, nous reviser et rentrer dans ce bâtiment. Et là, je me suis dit, ils vont nous finir. Donc, j'ai tiré Fredo le maximum que j'ai pu. Je l'ai traîné, on s'est enfermé dans les toilettes. Je l'ai mis au sol, je me suis mis à côté de lui. Et j'ai fermé les toilettes. Et j'ai entendu plein de coups de feu. Et je me suis dit, faut pas qu'ils nous finissent.
And were you frightened?
Oui, j'ai eu peur sur le moment qu'ils nous finissent. Qu'ils reviennent et qu'ils nous retirent dessus. Qu'ils suivent les traces de sang et qu'ils nous finissent. Je savais pas ce qui se passait.
I think that's enough of that. I think you get the point that this is still in the news to rile people up and provoke the Muslims into another attack. But you see, there is a plan for a new world order, a one world government, and the plan to turn the Christians against the Muslims, so that we destroy each other. Unfortunately, we have to realize that we must, as Christians and those who want to survive, we must get into the mind frame of preparing all, gathering necessary equipment, food, supplies, and finding a bug out location. Now, I know what people are saying. Why bug out? Simple. It's better to be on the move than in an isolated spot. True, you might know what dangers lies outside your home. But at least you know that you're not in a fixed position where you're vulnerable. It's a lot harder to track somebody when they're moving from point to point or to base camp to base camp. It is that unique quality that bugging out offers. Now, I know what people are saying out there. Well, how am I going to carry all this food with me? How am I going to carry all these things with me? The simple solution is to have that various points. What I've decided to do myself is to bury my supplies. I've set up several base camps where I've accumulated a lot of supplies, and that is the key and the essence of this. It's the pre-planning that you put into these things. Now we're going to see a lot of wars breaking out. You're going to see the crisis in Ukraine get a lot more worse, especially the Middle East countries like Iraq, Afghanistan, Kuwait, Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Kuwait, possibly you could see Russia getting involved, China in a dispute in the Ukraine will escalate a bit further. You could see more sanctions on Russia from the United States. And as well as that, the Ebola breakout in in Africa. It was spread into Europe, and there have already been a number of cases in Europe, especially in the United Kingdom, France, Italy, Spain, and there has been a number of cases in the United States as well. Now, with that in mind, we have really the possibility of being confronted with a world war, not only that, but with a viral outbreak, and that's it's going to combine also to an economic collapse of the dollar. You see, the problem is at the moment the oil prices are dropping. Now that's bad for the United States because their dollar is the petrol dollar, which is based on people buying oil, using the dollar. See, the reason why people need to use the dollar to buy petrol is simple. It's the reserve currency, but Russia, China, and the BRICS nations are moving away from the dollar. They're moving away from using the dollar as the reserve currency. And this is why they're buying up a lot of gold. And I would suggest that if you really want to dig deep into this, check out the Hagman and Hagman Report.com or the Hagman and Hagman.com, or log on to Blog Talk Radio and enter in the Hagman and Hagman Report, or check out Steve Krail, that's stevekrail.com, or check out B. the Gorilla Economist, Pastor Paul Begley, Alex Jones would be another, Greg Evenson, John B. Wells from Coast to Coast AM, Art Bell, look up on Art Bell, another person that might lead you into more information, and Alan Lamont is another person. But really what it comes down to is you. What are you going to do with the information that you're going to be presented from by these people when you go researching into it? What are you going to do about the crisis in the Ukraine, the crisis in Syria, the crisis in the Middle East, and the Ebola outbreak? How about the pending economic collapse? How about a severe weather storm or a natural disaster happens? What are you going to do then to survive? You really need to be doing some research into this, focusing your mind on it, and this is the brilliant thing that I find, that when we do this, we do ourselves a great favor by doing pre-knowledge, gaining that knowledge, and to know that knowledge is power at the end of the day. It will activate our minds to focus on not the problem, but finding a solution. You see, in order to realize that we need to find a solution, we must first realize there's a problem. And by doing that, we will find a solution. And that's what survival is about. Developing critical thinking, which is a skill that we're going to need out in the outdoors, especially in a bug out environment where we have just bugged out from, let's say, a house. A house where we know that there's troops coming to round us up. You only have to look up on YouTube FEMA camp and FEMA buses and FEMA coffins to realize what the Nazis did during World War II to the Jews. You can see in the US that they are getting ready to do the same thing. All you have to do is look up FEMA camps, FEMA coffins, and FEMA buses and FEMA trains to get an idea of what is going on. Then go and look up on World War II, the death camps, Auschwitz, the various camps in Europe, and you will start to see a resemblance of, they might look the same, but they have the same concept. You see, the way I see it is that the concentration camps in World War II was a trial run for the elite to see how efficient they would run, how would it perform, and how efficient and how discreet would anybody notice. And it's amazing that the German people living near the areas of these camps have had absolutely no idea what was being done there. You see, this is the thing that we have to realize, is that it's that thing that will be more like, it's not going to happen straight away. It's going to happen in there's going to be a build-up. So you're going to know by the signs that are there that things are going to go belly up and that you need to bug out. I've watched many videos about the list that FEMA has, that they have people on a red list, blue list, a yellow or green list, and it's quite simple. The people on the red list will be, we're going to be murdered. I know I'm on the red list. Anybody that speaks out about what's going to happen is automatically put on that list. The people on the blue list, they're going to try and re-educate them. To see, can they turn these people around to their way of thinking. The people on the green and yellow list, these are people that don't know, either they don't care about the New World or they don't know about it. So they feel that these people will go along with the new system that's going to be put in place. I once had Steve Quayle, Steve Quayle's name is spelled STEVEQUALE, Steve Quayle. Just enter it into a search engine and it should come up. Guess what Steve Quayle said? Go to the Lord and pray to him to see if what I'm telling you is true. So I did that. And it was amazing what happened. One night I woke up from a dream about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. It was this weird dream that all of a sudden I was standing in my hometown. Things had changed a bit. I was at this place where there was guard towers, these guard towers with a, they were very high, and they had these spotlights, and they had guards on them, and there was barbed wire going around. Very high barbed wire, and it was double fencing with the wire turned in. And I could be, I still can remember walking through that place and seeing the people lined up. These people were lined up to be, they were being separated, and what I saw really quite shocked me a bit, because I was absorbing what was going on, and their names were being taken, and they were assigned various positions to stand. Some people went off in one direction, and I could remember one officer going to the other and said, make sure these people don't escape. We got to keep them separate from the rest, because they're not going to be able to walk. These people are useless. We don't need them. So we're going to get rid of them. And all I could remember next is I was taken from the sorting place where they were organizing people, and I was moved to where these people were just boarding this train. With, they had very large trains with a lot of holes in the side of the train. There was a lot of vents in the train, you know, holes in the train for ventilation. They had a lot of shackles in them as well, and I could see these people being loaded up and being shackled into the train, and the officer went to the train driver and he said, put on your gas mask, because you're going into, put on your gas mask and connect your oxygen, because you're going into the gas chamber with the train. And I found it very odd that he said that how is he going to take this train into a gas chamber? But what happened was they pulled this train up. Down came this thing, covered the complete and other sides of the two train. And what it started to do then is started to pump in the gas. So all these ventilation holes were so that the gas could get in, but not only get in, but when they took off the thing, that the gas would escape quickly, so that it would dissipate quickly, so that it would be gone in a matter of moments. Then the train driver just moved up the train, and they did the same thing again. They did this for about 15 to 20 minutes for each carriage. And it was going off and on like that for about 2 to 3 hours. And when I came over to the train to look what was going on inside, all the people were just shackled, and but they were lifeless. They were thrown down, and it was that. When I came even closer, that stench of death was coming out. I could really feel that dark presence. That stench of death was present. Then I was taken from there to a house where I was wearing body armor, all this military clothing, and I remember there was a group of people there, And one said, we need to be quiet because they're going house to house. And I was feeling tired at this stage. So I went off and had a sleep. When I woke up from my sleep, my body armor was stolen. My equipment was stolen. My various things was taken. But I looked out the window and I could see lights on in a flashlight in the windows. So me and the other people in the house started to run across this field. But what I saw was that the body armor that I had, that the person who took it was being weighed down with it. And when I got to the other side into the bushes, and there was people there already, and they said, we want the house in front of you. And when we saw E leaving, we quickly left ourselves. And they said, one person said to me, keep quiet because the people back there are meant to be caught. And you know, I would advise you to do the same thing that Steve Quill did, said on the show. Go pray to God. Ask him to show you if it's real. You know, ask him if it's real. And then you will know. But I'm speaking the truth or not. Thanks very much for listening. Goodbye.